Before the pandemic, women reached a milestone. They outnumbered men in many measures of the job market. And then COVID. Now women are bearing the brunt of job losses and the responsibility of childcare.
Navigating this world of parenting, marriage, work, and self-care was hard enough before entering a global pandemic. It now seems like having to solve a potentially explosive Rubik's Cube one-handed, and not to mention your seven-year-old hovering over you asking, what's the plan?
That's listener Courtney Byes of Richmond, Virginia. She's one of many of you who shared your struggles with us. And let's put these challenges to labor economist Betsy Stevenson at the University of Michigan. Stevenson says the economic fallout of the pandemic has been, well, a little strange.
Typically, the kinds of industries that get hurt in a recession are male-dominated industries. You know, we usually keep going to the dentist and getting our hair cut when the economy is turning south, but we stop buying goods. Well, the pandemic economy was the exact opposite. We all bought a lot of goods and we stopped buying services. And that has meant a lot of job loss for women.
And then there's kids, who Stevenson says have been suffering themselves in this pandemic with anxiety, loss of learning, loss of playtime.
And they're at home asking us to make up for all of that. And it's an enormous burden on women and parents. And I think it's really a mistake to forget the fathers here. Because when we look in the data, we see that fathers had a tough time too. So there has been a big impact on parenting, and I think it's going to shake up parenting and the division of labor within households forever.
Yeah. Well, speaking of child care and balancing things, I want to play a little bit of sound from another listener, Aurora Sibley of Capitola, California. She's a self-employed single mother of two, and here she is describing how she was forced to close her massage therapy practice that she ran.
I had to remain shut for over a year because my children were schooling from home and I went back to teaching. I was lucky to be able to fall back on teaching and taught online so I could be home. But of course, I made less and income was up and down.
Well, and as we know, you know, there will be many Aurora Sibleys in the country who don't have other work to find and find themselves, you know, at home, riding out the pandemic and taking care of children. How hard is it for these parents to find their way back into the workforce and back into competitive salaries?
Well, I think what we're seeing is that people are returning to the labor force, but as they start to try to get back on with their life, we've gotten knocked down by other waves of the pandemic. If you looked at the Census Pulse data at the end of December, early January, you saw that there were 14 million people out of work, either because they had COVID or because they were caring for someone with COVID or because they couldn't send their kids to childcare or school because of COVID. And that total is more than in any other wave. So we're still seeing people unable to return to normal. And I think asking sort of what's going to happen, you know, will people come back to work, is going to require understanding what is the new normal and when are we there. But if we take a look at women, you know, women have come back. You know, it may sound small, but, you know, they started at 50% of the jobs in our non-farm payroll jobs. It fell to 49.1%. That's big when you multiply that over millions of people. And they've come back to 49.8. So we're not all the way there in terms of closing the gap. But we've had millions of women come back to work. More women come back to work than men, but they lost more jobs to begin with.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about involuntary job loss. Of course, some parents had some matter of choice, some didn't. Let's listen to Bess Kennedy of Menlo Park, California. She is the mother of five. She says she helps run 36 public charter schools from home, and things got especially stressful when her partner lost his job. Let's listen.
For sure, there were days when I longed to take a break or push off a project or just run and hide, but I knew I couldn't. And while my partner stepped up to manage distance learning last year, I really knew that without my income, we would be in really dire straits.
Yeah. And she talks about being stressed about this. Do we know about the stress of balancing work and taking care of children and whether mothers have more of it.
Well, on average, yes, we see mothers have more of that stress. There are more single mothers, and they don't necessarily even have a partner that is a co-parent with them to fall back on or a co-income provider to fall back on. A lot of families lost income, lost jobs, lost stability. All of this is incredibly stressful. And I think it's important to keep this in mind when we're thinking about government policy. I know right now a lot of the country's talking about inflation and why did we continue to send families money when all that extra demand was potentially contributing to higher prices. And I think you just played the reason we sent money to families, because it's hard to identify exactly who needs it, but the people who need it really, really need the money. So government policy in continuing access to the unemployment insurance, you know, I don't know if her husband had access to that, but for many people who lost their job, there was financial assistance that was unusual. Usually most people who lose their jobs don't actually have access to our unemployment insurance system. The unemployment insurance system is not designed to cover every worker. But through the pandemic, it was expanded and extended in ways that covered more people. And that it's that coverage that we needed to reduce the stress, because there was absolutely a lot of stress on families. And if you remember back to the early days of the pandemic, we saw record lines for food banks because people weren't sure where their next meal was coming from.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the particular challenges facing single parents, and we heard from a healthcare worker, Danielle Lauren, in Seattle, Washington, and she said she lost over 300 hours of work last year because of childcare issues, and she got into a lot of debt.
The pandemic has rocked me financially, my savings, everything. And the little bit of help that we've gotten from the government has been wonderful, but it's not enough to keep people like me or people that are struggling even more than me alive.
How great is the debt burden here?
You know, the pandemic has had such an unequal impact on so many people. We saw some people who found that their incomes went up, that they were able to work from home, that they were able to save because they didn't need to spend as much because they weren't traveling or going out. And so overall, as a country, our savings rose. And I think that's really hard to hear when you're someone who's looking at your balance sheet and saying, not mine. My savings didn't rise. I went into debt. And it's that inequality that we have to keep in mind when we think about how we design a fair response to something like a pandemic, which has such an unequal burden on people.
I want to talk a little bit more about childcare. Many mothers and at least one father shared with us their sometimes impossible childcare stories. Here's Allison Burbank, Apex, North Carolina. She is a physician scientist at university who gave birth to her second child at the start of 2020.
Every day there are impossible choices to make. I just canceled plans to attend a medical conference where I was asked to speak. The conference is really important for my career advancement, but I had to make a choice between that and keeping my kids safe from Omicron. But it feels so unfair. It feels like everybody has forgotten about the parents of the under 5-year-olds.
Betsy Stevenson, I imagine you're an economist. It's one thing to kind of look at these numbers and measure the impact. Is it another thing to kind of listen to these individual stories?
I mean, absolutely, because the pain is so raw and you really hear the suffering. Now, I will tell you that as an economist, I think if you're not hearing those voices in the back of your head when you're looking at the data, you're doing something wrong, because it really is important to realize that every data point represents people. And what you just played, I've heard from so many people that parents of children under 5 or parents of immunocompromised children, parents of children that are especially vulnerable in the Omicron wave, feel like they've been completely abandoned by society, by other parents, by employers. Everyone wants you to just get back on with it. And yet, you know, we've been in a pandemic where You know, we've had 800,000 cases a day across the country, and there are tons of students. I see this in my own school where they're testing positive on a rapid test and not reporting it. Cases are everywhere, and you just want to keep your kids safe. And so it's really impossible, difficult choices. And I really appreciated how she described it as a choice, but not really a choice.
Mm.
And I think that the parents who have suffered and the people who've seen parents suffer need to work to build a better labor market with stronger social supports that allow people to celebrate the joy of having children while succeeding in their jobs.
Mm. Betsy Stevenson is professor of economics and public policy at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much.
It's great talking with you.